Part 3. And take up his cross. Chapter 18. Jesus didn't save you from the cross. Mere logic tells someone that if I am wearing Bermuda shorts, a Hawaiian t-shirt, and sandals, I'm probably not headed to a corporate business meeting. Likewise, if my garb is football pads, a jersey, helmet, mouthguard, and cleats, you could likely assume I'm playing football, American football, that is. So when Christ calls his followers to take up their crosses, what is assumed? Yes, a person carrying a cross has before him or her a destination of suffering, persecution, and death. Carrying your cross speaks of living a life that anticipates rejection and pain. Suffering is expected. So is death. You took up the cross at the command of your Savior. The surprise would be to not suffer persecution, to not be led to death, to not be maligned for the sake of his name. Are such thoughts foreign to our 21st century ears? Have we become so comfortable in the world that crucified our Savior that we somehow hope to follow him without enduring the shame and pain of the cross? If the world is actively opposing him, should we expect them to appreciate us? Jesus never masks the reality of the cross, nor the commission to take it up. As a dear friend, Kevin Turner, would ask me, who starts a revolution with the words, "Come and die"? Tell the average Christian that Jesus didn't save you from the cross and you may be labeled a heretic. Could this mentality be one of the reasons we miss the depths of Christ's love, mission, and mercy? Could it be that our unwillingness to embrace the cross also keeps us from embracing him? And that our efforts to avoid the cross result in us not fully appreciating his love? Many men and women have died the death of crucifixion. Josephus, the Jewish historian, born a few years after Jesus' ascension, writes of witnessing the crucifixion of up to 500 people per day during the Roman siege of Jerusalem, AD 70. Even today, there are violent religious zealots who crucify those who disagree with their beliefs. Many have been crucified. So what made the cross of Jesus of Nazareth any different from the others? Was it about the crucifixion itself? Or is there something infinitely more horrific? It is remarkable that in the Garden of Gethsemane, in utter agony and grief, Jesus never asked the Father to spare him from the cross. Not once. There was no prayer of Jesus saying, "If it be your will, let this cross pass from me." Three times, however, Jesus did pray, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Matthew 26:39. Why the cup and not the cross? The cup of God's wrath. Throughout the pages of the Old Testament scriptures, we see this cup as a symbol of God's wrath being filled up against the wickedness of mankind. In Psalm 75:8, Asaph writes, "For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup with foaming wine, well mixed, and he pours out from it, and all the wicked of the earth shall drain it down to the dregs." Later, the prophet Jeremiah recorded these words of the Lord, "Take from my hand this cup of the wine of wrath, and make all the nations to whom I send you drink it." Jeremiah 25:15. Before Christ went to the cross, a conversation took place between James, John, their mother, and Jesus. In that encounter, the disciples' mother requested that her sons be given the right to sit at Christ's right and left hand in his kingdom. I love Christ's response. "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" Matthew 20:22. They answered that they could drink the cup, to which Jesus replied, "You will drink my cup. But to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." Matthew 20:23. Notice the change of words. First, he asks if they can drink the cup. Then, he tells them they will drink his cup. We must not miss this. For our sake, he, God, made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus became sin, the holy, infinite sin offering for us. When he went to the cross, what occurred? He cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Matthew 27:46. This is the only time on earth Jesus prays and doesn't call God Father. Why? On the cross, Jesus was forsaken, separated from intimate communion with the Father, so that we might never be separated from his love. This is the penalty of sin, separation. From the Garden of Eden onward, sin separated man from God until Jesus Christ came and reconciled us to God. Now, as followers of Christ, we can read with joy, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 8:38 through 39. Christ drank the cup of God's wrath so that we might forever drink the cup of his love. Throughout eternity, we will never fully know the depths of God's love toward us, nor will we totally understand what it cost him to purchase our redemption, for we will never taste a drop of God's wrath. But there is more to this cup. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took a cup and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." 1 Corinthians 11:25-26. This cup. He drank ours so we can have his. Our cup is one of love and association with him. Years ago, as I was meditating in the late hours of the night on some thoughts pertaining to this dreadful cup of God's wrath, these words were given to me. "A cup there is within thy hand, the dregs of judgment, death, and hell, tell of the justice holiness demands, of which no mortal e'er can tell. Prepared o'er time as man doth rage, this cup a constant reminder prove, that sin, though rampant, shall be judged, and God the just shall not be moved. Yet love unknown, surpassing thought, stepped out of heaven for all to see, that veiled in flesh the world might glimpse mercy meet judgment, setting us free. And oh, the dreadful cup was taken, poured out upon the sinless one, that on the lips of God's own word, it was finished, forever done. And now, exalted above all realms, his cup upon the table see, he speaks, 'This is my blood you drink. Until I come, remember me.'" Jesus died to save us from the wrath of God and the eternal separation that ensued, but he did not die to save us from the cross. Any theology that tries to remove the cross from what it means to follow Christ is a theology that presents another Jesus. 2 Corinthians 11:2-4. Jesus did not merely insinuate that following him would include suffering. Jesus commanded his would-be followers to choose the cross If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16:24. The cross isn't merely an option. It's the pathway to intimacy with Christ. Jesus meant what he said.